Well, it's time for your feedback now. EP Jackie May is with me in the studio. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Richard, and welcome back after a week away. Of course, we had Natasha Mitchell in the chair last week, and we had a lot of fun. And one of the stories we talked about while Natasha was here was women in combat. Of course, that, well, I guess controversial and interesting idea about taking gender politics to the next level within the military service anyway. Now, she got in touch. Why should women be held back from doing what they want to do just because it upsets some people's sensibilities? They won't be in combat unless they're capable and willing. The onlookers are just going to have to evolve. I think it will make our armed forces more formidable.
Well, Bob has a different perspective. He says, to apply notions of gender equity to employment in frontline combat is dangerous PC folly. In the end, it's not how the defence brass regards women, it's how a murderously minded armed foe does. Natasha's guest mentioned appropriate support facilities for women in frontline combat. What, for instance, a counsellor to talk the Taliban out of trying harder to capture the prize of women soldiers, a possibility that has been canvassed already by serving soldiers in Afghanistan? Are the Taliban going to go along with this nice non-discriminatory vision and offer appropriate support facilities to women prisoners? We also got this call.
Hello, I'm replying to the program you had on women in defence. You know, I'm approaching my 70s. And what's very certain to me at this stage of my life is that the absolute biological differences in male and females. But I think there is a place for women on the front line, because I think men are very good at thinking on the one issue that they're working on, whereas women can think more laterally, and that's been shown by research. And anyone that's been a mum will know that you can be cooking, talking to children, umpiring between your husband and your children, and you can be very diverse. Men have got more strength, that's for sure. But a combination of the two can usually be very beneficial. And never let it be forgotten, and research showed this, that during the Second World War, women and men in the concentration camps, it was the women who came through as being far more resilient than the men. Thanks. Bye.
Well, we'll watch it with interest.
We will.
Now, yesterday you were talking with Judith Sloan from National Seniors. She played a fairly big role in the tax summit meeting last week, of course, and the coverage of it. We were talking about older Australians downsizing the family home, but also another topic from the summit came up, that wider discussion about the discrepancy between Newstart and the aged and other pensions. And we got this call.
Yes, I'd like to comment on the disparity between Newstart allowance and the widow's allowance. The program featured on Tuesday speaks of $490 that goes to Newstart. It actually isn't even that much. And I don't really know how anyone can survive and keep a house on that amount. So even to go to the widow's allowance, which some are entitled to, is impossible to live on. There should be more of an inquiry into this. I'd really appreciate it if Joan Sloan gets this information so that she can look into the difference between the disability allowance, which is way above the Newstart, and the widow allowance. Thank you.
Earlier in the week, we talked about the consultation on Indigenous recognition in the Constitution. This is because of a big forum at Melbourne University, which is on this week. We got this call.
I'd like to comment on Indigenous recognition in the Constitution. My name is Chris. Whilst I support helping individuals in need as individuals, I have a problem with decisions based purely on race and ethnicity for any reason. Aboriginal activists complain that the intervention was racist because it was based on race, and they have a point. But then they can't have it both ways and say they want preeminence in the Constitution based purely on race. Thank you.
Now, another topic of the week was ending early and forced marriage and the Plan International campaign in the lead up to the CHOGM meeting in Perth later this month. Now, Chantal got in touch. I'd like to see more emphasis on educating the families that there are other ways to ensure that their daughters are safe and taken care of. I live in the city of Toronto in Canada, which is an extremely multicultural society. And in my experience, educating the parents that their daughters can be stable and well taken care of without being married early, and that there are lots of other options to ensure their long-term well-being, is really crucial. I feel as though parents that may choose this are not out to get their daughters deliberately trying to hurt them or not viewing them as humans with emotions and feelings. The parents have always seen this and seen it work in their lives and the people around them, and some percentage must believe that they are doing so, you know, somewhat well, and that their own lives have turned out all right in order to be doing this. I believe that in a large percentage of these cases, educating the families that there are other ways for their daughters to live happy, fulfilled lives are possible. And knowing that there are other ways of ensuring their daughters' long-term well-being that really and truly do work. And that telling them that their traditions that have worked for thousands of years and may possibly have even made their own lives happy and comfortable are morally wrong and evil may not be the best way to encourage change. That sounds like the best way to get someone's back up. An attack usually encourages a defence.
Now, last week on the show, Tash spoke to Tom Insel, director of the National Institute of Mental Health in the USA. It's prompted Justin to get in touch. He says, having suffered from a mental illness for more than half my life and having experienced inadequate care from the majority of medical specialists I've consulted, it's depressing news indeed that there has been so little emphasis on developing better treatments for illnesses such as mine. I can only hope for others in the future that the drug companies adopt a more responsible attitude and put need before profit. We also got this call.
Yeah, good morning. My name's Andy Beals. I was just listening to Natasha Mitchell interviewing the gentleman about schizophrenia and genetics. She made no mention, she may not be aware, of some research that's being done in Queensland, in the Queensland Centre for Mental Health Research. I was one of the subjects in that, which is looking at this exact problem, the link, if any, between genetics and schizophrenia. It might be interesting to follow that up. It's Australian research happening in this worldwide subject of interest. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for that call. Now, we also had an interview yesterday about ending overcautious childhoods and providing interesting play gear for children right up into their teens. We had a lot of comment about how a lot of playgrounds are really just for younger children. Adrian wrote, my son's now 11 and I remember with much heart and hope taking him to Science Works in Melbourne's Spotswood, where there's a space for younger children called Nitty Gritty Super City. Children would work together building walls, deconstructing them and rebuilding them using wheelbarrows, rubber bricks, pulleys and boxes and a hand turn conveyor belt. I always thought it would be valuable for management people to see how children can quite naturally be collaborative and work together without the need for much talk or direction. But Philippa wrote, I wasn't sure whether to laugh or cry when I heard the story on children playing. Fancy having to do an inquiry on children playing with cardboard boxes. If these helicopter parents left their kids for 5 minutes when they were young to play alone, they might discover that their kids could amuse themselves with minimal stuff and their imaginations.
Just time to tell you that Susan got in touch after hearing our Meet the Listener guest, Ruth, yesterday. And you might recall that both of Ruth's parents were blind, and she was very entertaining talking about her childhood. Well, Susan said, I really enjoyed today's listener segment. Not only was she an entertaining speaker, but her experiences were similar to my mother's. She was born to deaf parents, and her father also played the disability card and got away with it with a few things. He bought her a radio, which Mum acknowledged was a wonderful thing for a deaf parent to do for a hearing child, and she had to translate for them as they used sign language. Mum was evacuated during the war and discovered some differences in the hearing world. Thank you for that. And thank you, Susan. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Life Matters, a woman who really built her reputation publicly for paying a blonde ditz. She is so far from that, it is unbelievable. She's very bright indeed. Goldie Hawn, a Hollywood movie star, will be joining us from New York. Sadly, she won't be in the studio to talk about her consuming passion, which is mindfulness meditation. In her new book, she outlines how to give children and you and me the social and emotional skills to reduce anxiety in order to be happier. I am really looking forward to talking to her. I hope you'll join me for it. The news is next on Radio National. It's 10 o'clock.